How come I'm hearing four different things? Kobe showed up. Oh, that's when things get good. All right. Let's have a quick prayer together. Father God in heaven, Lord, thank you so much for this opportunity to share what you've done in my life, in my wife's life, and ultimately my children's life and other family members. Lord, I just want to lift you up and praise your name and give all the glory where it belongs, and that's to you, our righteous God. Please, Father, speak to me so you can speak through me. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so I had been praying and fasting for 3 days and asked the Lord to give me a big sign whether or not Kobe was to be in my life. And then I remember she showed up, and then I took her to dinner and I gave her that whole list, and she started crying and she said, "I don't know what's happening to me, but I want those things too." Is that where I ended up pretty much?
Yeah.
Okay. That we were together for a couple of days, and we hadn't decided whether or not we were going to like be boyfriend and girlfriend together again, because now I'm a Christian and she's not. And so I had learned at least enough that I needed to be equally yoked. And of course, you probably know what that means, that if I'm spiritual and I'm a Seventh-day Adventist, then I want to marry a spiritual Seventh-day Adventist. Amen? And so I was looking for any glimmer of hope that she would want to become that. But here's how it really panned out. In that 6 month period, the Lord had healed my heart, and I can't say it was all completely healed, but there was a big chunk of it that was. And it was a process, because I had a lot of baggage. I had a lot of hurts, a lot of messed up thinking. And so it took a number of years ultimately for the Lord to really help me through. And he's still helping me through different things. But the good news is that there was enough of a change that I actually didn't even perceive was going on in me. I was just praying and I was asking God to fix my heart and my mind and my life and teach me about Jesus. And when Kobe came, she noticed a difference in me, and I didn't perceive that that had happened. And she was like, "What's going on with you?" You know, and I said, "What do you mean?" She says, and this was the next day, she said, "Wow, you're just different." She just kept looking at me going, "You're just different." And I'm like, "Is that okay?" And she's like, "Well, it's different good." I said, "Well, what do you mean?" She's like, "I don't know." You know, because I mean, it had only been a day that we've been together, but she's like, "You're just different." And so I was thinking, okay, I hope it's different good and good enough to where I can propose to her someday in the future. Anyway, what happened was I sent her home with Steps to Christ and Desire of Ages, because those two books revolutionized my life. If you have not read Steps to Christ, start with that one. It's real small, it's a fast read, and then read it again with your Bible. And that changed my life. That is a God-inspired book. And then I read The Desire of Ages, and I saw a picture of Jesus that melted my heart. And I saw the immense love of God and the immense love of Jesus to willingly offer himself up to become one of us and to die. When you read if you haven't read it, read it. If it's been a while since you read it, read it again. It should be something that we just, at least I need to just keep going through it every year. Just wherever we wind up, you just keep going. And I was absolutely touched by that book, and so I had hoped it would touch her heart. And I didn't realize it, but I had my first Bible study. And she went back to California and we started talking, and all of our conversations were centered on all of her questions that she found in Steps to Christ and in Desire of Ages. And then I would show her, you know, how it has the headings and it gives you under these chapters that this is based on this chapter in the Bible and that type of thing. Well, then I was able to take her to the Word of God and say, "You see, all of this is in the Bible too." She's just helped magnify this. And she was just amazed by it. And so I didn't realize it, but I was already in a discipleship mode. And when you, friends, have learned the truth that you have, and you have not shared it with somebody, I'm going to tell you right now, you don't even know what it's like to be a Christian yet. You don't. Because it's only part of it. Until you get out and share your faith with your holy, with your God and the Holy Spirit working through you, through His Word, then your Christian experience begins to really solidify and gel. It's miraculous. And so you, part of being a Christian is being a disciple, is to be a teacher, to be a Bible worker, or whatever it is, whatever God, you get active in leading somebody to Christ. And so I didn't realize that, but when you allow the Holy Spirit in unreservedly, you got to start telling people. Amen? And I just started telling her. And I can tell you this, I kind of kid about it, but I actually had no ulterior motive. I really didn't. At that point, I wanted her to see the Jesus that I had found. And I told her, the picture of Jesus that you have is not an accurate one, because I had the same picture. It was distorted. And if you knew what I knew, you would live your life for God as well. And she says that she'll tell you, she said she respected me enough to say, I better at least look into it. And so we started talking on the phone. And then Danny had a vegetarian cooking school in which he needed some help. And I said, why don't we get Kobe out? Because she's starting to learn these things. I had righteous intentions, brothers and sisters. Let's get her out here. She can stay. All you have to do is fly her out. Now, Danny loves free labor. Okay? And I said, all you have to do is fly her out. And he had air miles. Didn't cost him anything. And she'll stay at your house. She'll eat your... We were already vegan. But she'll eat your food. And we'll have worships together. And he said, call her up. Sounds great. So I called her up. And I said, would you like to come work for a couple of weeks? We have a vegetarian cooking school, and she was on medical leave still. I said, so it doesn't pay anything, but we'd be able to hang out together. And she said, and she wasn't answering me. And I was like, what's wrong? And she's like, uh-huh, really, uh-huh. And I was like, what's this all about? And she had moved in because she got pretty sick. She moved in with her parents there in Arizona. I said, is one of your parents right there? And she says, yep. That's right, you know, and I was like, oh, because she hadn't told them that we had reestablished a connection, because when I left, that family hated me, because I had left her in her hour of need. They didn't understand God was calling me, and God had a plan for me, and wanted me to reach into my heart, and to help fix my heart, and to enter into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. All they saw was, this guy's a schmuck, he left our daughter when things got rough. Well, that wasn't the case, but that's how they saw it. And so when I talked with her and she accepted the invitation to come and work there for the 2 weeks, it was actually about 2.5 weeks, when her father, she told her father responded with, if you go and see that man talking about me, you are no longer my daughter and you are not welcome in this family. That wasn't very fair. And it's a tough love kind of act. And he meant it. And she knew that he meant it. And that was the day, actually, I didn't say that right. It was the day she was leaving on the airplane to come there. And she had no plans after that to actually arrive. And her brother, who is just the opposite of a Christian, said, you know what, when he came to pick her up and take her to the airport, she was crying, and Kobe's father had left, and he went to work. He worked the night shift, and so this little exchange happened in the early afternoon, and she was just upset, and she was crying, and her brother, who has not a spiritual bone in his body, at least at that point, he actually just said, you know, that wasn't fair for Papa to say that, and they were running late because she wasn't going to go. And finally he said, okay, look, I'll tell you this. If you're supposed to go and you're supposed to be there, the airplane will still be there when we get there. And they were already behind. They were at that point about 20 minutes behind schedule, and she had a Southwest Airlines flight. And they're the most on-time airline in the industry. So everything And that's true. Everything was against her getting on that airplane. And as she cleaned herself up and they got in the car and headed off, they wound up being close to a half an hour late. So she only had a carry-on, and she got in there, and she said, oh, well, you lucked out. The plane's been delayed. And as they got on, still to this day, we don't know why, but except for that God delayed it. Amen? Because he's a miracle-working God. He even delays Southwest Airlines. And she wound up making it, and she got on the airplane. The captain said, well, we just had a couple of business items of business to take care of, and we're ready to roll on. And she got sat down, and they took off. And so she landed. And I had Gianna Vieira and Daniel Vieira with me in the car, and they were just little kids. They were just, I think, like 8 and 6 or 5 or something. And so they were in the back seat, and I had told them that I had a plan, and that was to, when I picked Kobe up, I was going to give her a gift, and that was I was going to sing a song to her. Now, she had never heard me sing before, and I thought that would be kind of a neat way to open up this spiritual couple of week thing, and I'm kind of a diehard romantic. And so she got in the car, and we're driving along, and from Sacramento to Lodi, it's about a 55-minute drive from the airport, and my heart's just going, ba-boom, ba-boom, ba-boom. I'm just like so nervous. I'm like, I can't do this. No way. This was a dumb idea. And I'm looking in the rearview mirror, and Gianna Vieira is going, sing. She's like, come on, sing, you know, and I was like, you know, like, stop it. And so here she's putting this pressure on me, this little 8-year-old. And she was like, because she knew. She's like, you got to sing for it. It's so cool, you know. And so on the way there, I'm singing and trying to practice, you know, and all that stuff. And Gianna's going, this is going to be so cool. So she's going, come on, come on. And I'm like. So then finally I just said, Kobe, I don't remember what I said. Something to the effect of, you know, the Lord's been in my life now, and there's this song that's real special to me, and it's called People Need the Lord, and I'd like to sing it for you. And I just hit play. I had to do it right then. And I started singing, and Kobe was just like, she just looks over at me, and, you know, I didn't say I want to sing a song for you. I just said I have a gift for you, and I hit play. So she thought maybe I was going to play a song for her, and then I started singing. She's like, you know, what in the world? And then as the song went on, she starts looking out the window, and I can see her crying. And Gianna and Daniel in her back seat going, you know, it was, I wish I had a videotape, man, because they were just like, this is so cool, you know. They thought it was great. And I'm trying, and I'm like, you know, you know, and so we get through it, and she wipes her tears real as subtly as she can, and that started our 2 weeks together. She stayed with the Vieiras, and you can't help it when you got little kids praying and how precious it is. I mean, I remember little Lauren praying a prayer. She had to have been 3-4 years old, and she says, I remember the prayer, and we all just giggled as we were sat around. She's like, Jesus, please bless us. Please help Daddy not to talk long. Please help. I mean, just these precious little prayers that are from this sincere heart, and it just melts you as an adult, you know. And in Jesus' name, amen. And everybody just starts, and they lose it, you know. But it was just so real and so sincere. And my Kobe was able to see just a, you know, not a perfect family, but a family that was different and a family that was trying. And about a week into the working there at the health food store, Danny was like, man, I really need this girl to come work for me. She is sharp. And Kobe had been in retail, and she could merchandise things. She was just a sharp girl. And Danny was like, and so she's working at his health food store, and she's just kind of whipping the store into shape. And he's like, I really want this girl to work here. I'm like, so do I. And so we had a righteous conspiracy. And anyway, Danny had just hired a Baptist lady to manage his store. And she had only been there about 3 months, and she was doing a great job. And he's like, the problem is we just hired Nancy. I mean, what, you know, I can't let her go because I want Kobe there. I'm like, really? Yeah. No, that would not be the Christian thing to do. So we wound up having a really amazing time. And about a week in, everybody had left, and we were locking up the place, and we were getting ready to arm the building and then head out to Danny's house to turn in for the night. And we were just talking about the night, and we had all these new people that had come, non-Adventists and different people that were excited about the health message. And I'm like, isn't that so awesome? I mean, these people, you know, they're going to become vegans. You know, they're going to get healthy and they're going to be strong and all the stuff. And she just started crying. I mean, it was just this deep weeping. And I was like, what's going on? What's wrong? You know, and she just sat there and cried and cried. And she's like, what has happened to you? Because, I mean, I'm excited about people eating veggies. You know, I mean, come on. And I'm talking about Jesus, and we're praying, and we're together. You know, she was just like, and she just wept. She's like, who are you? Who are you? And I just said, I'm just a follower of Jesus. And she just wept and wept and wept. And I said, look, it's Jesus. And I just held her, and she wept, and she literally wept on my shoulder. And I just kept telling her, it's the love of Jesus. It's the love of Jesus. And she got it. She said, something is different. And I just said, it's Jesus Christ. And she didn't need any more explanation than that. And so we studied more together, and we spent more time in the Word of God together. I mean, you have to understand, guys, remember, we had already been together. We had already been intimate. We had already lost a baby. We had already got separated. And now God was doing something beautiful. He was making all things new. And not only my heart, but her heart. And so he brought us back together on a Christian platform. That's awesome. And so I sat there, and I was just like, oh, this is incredible. And I saw what was starting to happen in her life, because it had recently happened in mine. So it just gave me great hope. And when she left there after that 2 weeks, before she left there, we were having a morning devotion with Danny. And I called to her heart. And I just asked her if she wanted to give her life to Jesus. And she again started crying. And she said, yes, I would. And I got to lead her in a sinner's prayer. And right there before my eyes, Kobe was justified before God. And salvation had come to her soul. And I thought to myself, we have a lot of family members we need to share this with too. And I thought, wow, this is amazing that God... And nobody can convince me that God is not real. Because when he changes your heart from where you know where it was, and how he changes somebody else's heart, and you knew who she was, and he begins to mold and shape her right before your eyes, that is the strongest evidence that God is alive and well. Because you can see a changed life. Amen? And so God began to shape her mind and her life and heal her heart. She had a lot of hurts, terrible things that had happened to her. And God began to heal her heart. So the moral of this part of my story is that God wants to work in our lives because he wants to make our lives better. He's never going to take anything out of our lives that's for our good. He'll only take the things out that will hurt us or hurt our relationship with him. Does that make sense? Because when I went to work for Danny, Danny told me this. He goes, you can live in that house. That's the ministry house. It was built with God's money. You can have no movies, no TV, no secular magazines, no worldly music. And I was a secular guy. And I said, fine. Why? Because I wanted something different. And when the true seekers are seeking, they're not looking for a worship style that's degraded and has all the worldly music. They're not looking for cheap little surface Bible studies. They're not wanting the worldly music and compromised movies. The true seekers want truth as it is in Jesus Christ. And that's it. That's what drew me in. I wasn't given a bunch of fluff. It was, this is the Word of God. Any question? It was the Bible and Spirit of Prophecy. That was it. And I'm telling you, if you're not a convert, you don't understand that. As a convert from the world into the church, I'm telling you straight up, that is what we're looking for. Young people that come into the church with their parents that are new, they're looking for young people that are different. They are. Parents, other parents are looking for parents that are different. They've got representatives all around them that are like them. So it's not us bringing ourselves down to them. It's us attached to Christ who wants to help us all up to Him. Amen? And so the one thing I found with Danny was that he was not a compromiser. And I respected that. He wasn't perfect. There are other things going on, like we all got things going on. But he was not. He would say, I don't need to see what he said. Anyway, the reality is I was drawn by that. That's what really inspired me to start. And then, of course, he attached me to Christ. And that, of course, continued to inspire me to continue on with Jesus. So I got to whip through this, or we're going to be doing this tomorrow night. My led Kobe to Christ, and she went home. And we had intended at that point that she was now going to move out when it was going to make financial sense for her to do that, whether she got a secular job or whatever. We didn't know, but we just said, Lord, we believe you want us together. We believe that you have a work for us to do together, and we're going to wait on you. And that's what you need to do, is to wait on God. Because God can work miracles, and the next miracle he worked for us was when she went home. It was 3-4 days, maybe a week after. It's not even a week. It's 3 or 4 days later. Nancy, the health food store manager, walked into the door of the ministry and said to Danny and I, we were having devotions in the morning, and she said, I needed to tell you something. I need to ask you something. So, okay. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I need to talk to you. I said, sure, no problem. She says, God has told me to give my job to Kobe. True story. You know, Baptists listen to God too. And I said, what? And Danny goes, what? She said, God has told me to give my job to Kobe. Offer it to her. If she wants it, it's hers. And I looked at, can she do that? And he goes, I think so. And Danny said, what about you? She goes, God has just told me he'll reward my obedience. And so I'm like on speed dial to Kobe. I'm like, okay, thank you. And I'm like, Danny, did you? He goes, I did. I said, can she? She can. It's like, he goes, I want her and so do you. And he goes, see, it's great. All things work. Everybody wins when God's in it. And so I called her up and she decided, actually her mother was right there with her again and she was acting weird again. And I said, is your mom right there? She goes, uh-huh. And I'm like, well, I got something, because I started to tell her, I got a job for you. Nancy just quit her job and not quit it. She said, if you want it, you can have it. She's like, can she do that? And I'm like, yeah. So anyway, the reality is she accepted the job, and I decided to fly out to Arizona and have a big powwow with the family. And it was nearly a crucifixion. It was not good. They just raked me over the coals for hours. And, you hurt this family, you hurt my daughter, blah, blah, blah. They just went at me and at me. But by the end of it, we were hugging. We were, you know, saying that we were sorry, and I was sorry. And, you know, if they said something wrong, I corrected it. But otherwise, I just let them vent. And nearly 3 hours later, when we were all done hugging, then we said, by the way, she's moving to California next week. And her dad just went, oh! he just left. He just got in his car and drove away. No idea what he did. But it was probably too much for him to just be in the presence of this guy that he didn't like anymore. And now I'm stealing his daughter away. Well, the reality is she did move there. She is a big girl, you know, so she can make her decisions. And we entered into, I would say, a courtship at that point, which is kind of funny because we had already got the cart before the horse, you know. But God gave us a whole new experience, which was beautiful. And so for 6 months, we studied, we prayed together, we had devotions together, and we had a pure courtship. So awesome. Come on, who gets those kind of second chances that children of God do? And so he cleaned us up, if you will. And she didn't feel, and I didn't feel guilty that she was wearing a white dress on our wedding day. You know, we had made decisions in the world as heathen. And when we learned the truth, we walked in that and God made our hearts new. Amen. So Danny officiated our wedding, and we were married actually right there on his property. Our friends and people came around, and everybody donated and gave something. We had a big sit-down dinner, and it cost us really nothing. God's people just came together, and we had this beautiful marriage. My mother made her wedding dress and everything. Everybody just went, yes, and they were just there for us. And they loved us right into the truth. They loved Kobe right into the truth. And we went forward. I was actually baptized 2 weeks before our marriage during one of Danny's camp meetings. And Kobe, we intended to be baptized together, but she just felt like she just didn't have the passion or something, because she saw me. I'm a very passionate person, and she just felt like maybe something's missing and I don't need to be baptized yet. I'm not quite sure. So she actually waited. And I worked there for a total of 2.5 years. And then the Lord, we had a couple of problems that happened there. And Danny and I weren't seeing eye to eye on different things. And I eventually left there. And interestingly enough, I called Ron Reeves. And I'm sure you remember that. I called Ron for counsel before I had actually left there, and we had talked and we counseled. And I called a number of other people. And I don't think it was inappropriate, but eventually in our conversation, when I had decided that I was going to leave Modern Manna, Ron said, well, what are you going to do after that? And I said, I'm not sure. And he said, well, why don't you come work with us at Steps to Life? And I'm not going to move to Kansas, brother. I like climbing mountains and I like rivers. And, you know, I was not interested in Kansas at all. I had been there. I'd already done a video production there doing Danny's cooking school and stuff. And I liked the people. I liked the facility. But I didn't like Kansas. And so be careful when you say you would rather not, or you're not going to do it, because God will then test your faith. And so we flew out to Steps to Life. And we wound up being out there for a total of, it was going to only be an extended weekend. And they said, well, we got a lot of editing to do. We're kind of behind. Would you like to actually, you know, you got nothing else going. And Ron's very persuasive. And so they offered to pay me to sit there and edit their programs. And so it was 5 weeks. It's supposed to be a week, and it turned into 5 weeks. And it was like, it wasn't every day, but it seemed like every day Ron or Gwen or somebody would come to me and say, so what's the Lord telling you? When are you going to move here? And the Lord's not telling us to move here. And like, well, you should pray about that again, because we sense he wants you to be here. And I'm like, that's convenient for you to say. And so we just went, it was like five, saw, we were in their family room together. We're meeting their kids. You know, Christian back there, he was this tall. He was just this little guy. And so I knew the Reeds boys and Dee Dee. Deborah. When they were just little ones. And what's interesting is, I don't know if the Reeves know this or not, but what's interesting is every morning, Kobe and I would pray separately, and then we would come together and say, what's the Lord telling you? And it was no, we're not moving here. No, for 5 weeks, it was no. And we were sure it was no. And I think during that process, the Lord had to just work on our hearts to just say, are you going to do what I want you to do or what you want to do? Are you going to try to modify what I want you to do? And what happened was, the morning, we got up one morning, and I said, what's the Lord telling you? She said, no, you first. And I went, uh-oh. Because every morning was like, no, Lord. I said, what? She says, the Lord has impressed me that we need to move here. And I said, that's exactly what I sensed this morning, too. So that was confirmation. What's interesting is that day, Kobe had this overwhelming desire to take a pregnancy test. And she hadn't said anything. Well, I was in the editing desk, and it was the day we told everybody, we're gonna go ahead and take the offer and we're gonna move here. And it was after I had made that decision, Kobe walked in and put a positive pregnancy test on the editing table.
Yes!
And then that became this guy. All right. So, fooey on the doctors, the Lord had reached down and just healed her womb. And he was a tough baby to actually. It wasn't that bad. She had some little complications, and the birth didn't go the way we wanted to, and you know that type of thing. But when we had, huh? Yeah, when he came out, he had a really smashed nose like that. And I remember telling the doctor, I said, "Oh, does he go to plastic surgery right away?" Because now my wife has a crooked nose, actually, a little bit of crooked. Her dad has a little crooked nose, but his was like that. And I'm like, it got worse. It got worse. It's genetic or something. And I'm like, do we pull it out? What do we do? And he was like, no. I'm telling you, that's the truth. And he said, no, it'll form. It was just, his nose was probably on her pelvis, and it just smushed it over or whatever. And it did. I blew on his mouth a couple times, and it came out. So, no problem. So, he's got a nice nose now, so that's good. Well, we wound up having Tyler, and he was such a good baby, and he's just so sweet, and we're praying and asking God what happened. We're not sure, but then we actually had our second baby, and my wife got it so healed up her womb, she about sneezed, and that kid came out. And that was opposite of this guy. We got into the hospital, and literally, she had labored at home, and I rolled over, and she wasn't in bed. I'm like, whoa, where's Kobe? And I walked into the restroom, and I'm like, honey, how are you doing? She's like, I'm like, whoa, are you laboring right now? She's like, I'm like, can you talk to me? I was like, I think that meant we need to go. And so I was afraid of things, so I said, just sit here. And I got out garbage bags and put them on my back seat because I didn't want to ruin my car seat and stuff. And she's like, let's go. I'm like, I heard that. So we put her in, and I'm heading down the road and stuff. And we got there, and within 35 minutes of hitting that door, we had the baby. And he came out fairer and fatter than Tyler. It was amazing. He was this strong little guy, and he had a nice nose. That's right, he did. And, you know, the Lord bless us with a beautiful family, and we continued to work there for a number of years. And then what happened was, and I guess we're not going to get through it tonight again. Wow, it's not what I planned. But I'll end with this thought. What happened was, I was called by friends of Steps to Life. And I had recorded one sermon in my life at that point, and it was called The Home Hypnotist. It was all about the dangers of television. And I preached it in my own little church there, and It was recorded, and it was sent out as a message of the month. And I didn't realize that it happened. And I also had done some singing, and we would put my songs sometimes and other people's songs on the end of the sermon, on the videos and on the audios. And so, and I had only done special musics in my life up to that point, at least in the church. I had done other music and stuff in the world. But a couple called me up and said, hey, we're having a little camp meeting over in Minnesota, and we'd like you to come out and do a concert, and we'd like you to speak. And I said, nope, I'm the video guy and then production. And, you know, it's like, well, no, we heard you preach, and we want you to come and do that. So I'm like, how did you hear me preach? It's like, well, we heard your home hypnotist sermon. I'm like, oh. And so I realized it had been distributed. And we want you to come and do a concert. And God love the Mishlos. They just pushed a little bit. And my wife said, I said, I got a call today from the Mishlos. And they said they wanted me to come out and speak. They were having a little camp meeting. And Elder Grossball was going to be speaking there as well. And I cleared it with Steps. I said, if you want me to go, can I go? And they said, sure, yeah, yeah. So I wound up deciding to do it, with my wife saying, I think this is great. I think you should. And so we worked, her and I worked together on an outline for a concert. I had never done a concert. I had never been to a Christian concert. I didn't even know what you did at a Christian concert, because what I did at other concerts, I hoped you didn't do at a Christian concert. So I had no idea what would you do. And so we just put together this outline, a little bit of a testimony. And you know what, friends? I didn't realize until that exercise, putting that together, that I even had a testimony yet. Didn't even realize it. I'm like, who would want to hear about some poor little abused kid that, you know, that's, nobody needs to hear that noise. That's all my personal business. I didn't even realize that God would wind up using that testimony. And anyway, I got on the airplane. I was shown to one of the kids' rooms. That was going to be my room there. The camp meeting was at their house. And I went to pull out my notes, and I had...
What? That one microphone.
No. So I went to pull out my notes, and I had left my notes and my outline for my concert in the seat back pocket of the airplane. And I called my wife in a panic, and I back everything up. So I'm like, okay, you got to get this to me. You got to fax it. You know, we didn't have like emails and all that stuff really like we do now with attachments. But, you know, you got to fax it and all this stuff. So she wound up looking and saying, I can't find it anywhere, Christian. I said, there's no way. I know that I have backups. And she looked, there was not even a backup to be found. I think angels got in some of the Steps Live computers and did some deleting. And I'm serious. And in a panic, I went to my knees and I said, Lord, it's my first time to preach and to sing. And I lost my notes. And he impressed my heart. I have a plan. And I had a Steps Life laptop there, and the E.G. White CD-ROM was on there. And I went there, as my custom had come to go to the Bible-inspired writings to find direction and comfort. And I stumbled upon, for the first time I ever had read it myself, I stumbled upon Sister White's first vision. And I started reading it, and I was like, whoa, because I had heard about it, but I had actually never read it for myself. And as I was reading it, God said, take that track and put it right there. And I put this song right there and that one right there. And in 35 minutes, a vision of heaven was born. Isn't that cool? And God showed me a way that I was going to minister for him with music, and it wouldn't be about me. It would be about the spirit of prophecy in spiritual music. And I thought, I could do that, because I was deathly afraid of getting that huge ego again because of my theater days and standing up there in front of people. Now, it's not about the presenter, it's not about the musician or the preacher, it's about God. And I was afraid that it would become about me, and God showed me a way that I could share music and it wouldn't be about me. Amen. And so I did it the next day. present it to the people, and people are like, oh, do you have that recorded? And I'm like, no, God gave it to me last night. And they're like, wow, that's great. So I went home, and I got it recorded right there in the church, and different people were like, well, my wife said, why don't you get it recorded? So I asked if I could record it there, and we recorded it, and then everybody was like, we want a copy, and so I came up with some little bit of artwork for it, and before you know it, I had CDs and cassettes, and I began selling a bunch of them, and we weren't even trying, and God birthed, if you will, and started our ministry right there. It was incredible. And so the message tonight is that God has a calling in each one of our lives, and that calling is going to be different for each one of us. I didn't realize my calling was going to be singing and preaching and doing media production. Now, media side of it, I thought, okay, I could use that for God because I had been trained in that. But I didn't ever think that He'd be using me in a public way to sing and preach and give testimony of Jesus Christ. And He wants to use all of you, young or old, and He has a job for each one of you. And I will tell you this, I've been in the world, I've been in the church, and if you want the most amazing space shuttle ride, embrace your calling. If you want to absolutely be on fire in your Christianity, in your walk with God, embrace your calling. I don't know what my calling is. Then start asking. And God will show it to you because He's been wanting you to ask Him that question since you were young. And there's one thing I can tell you, and that is that Jesus Christ is faithful. God the Father is faithful. And He wants to work in each one of your lives more than He wanted to work in my life, I believe. And you know why I say that? Because now we're closer to the end of time. We're closer to Christ coming. And He is more willing and I think more excited as this crescendo of Earth's history begins right now. And if you don't sense it and see what's going on, then you've got your eyes closed. How many of you believe we are literally living in the last days? I just listened to a sermon last weekend, and actually it was our pastor's wife preaching, and she was talking about the end of time, the time of the end. And she was talking about, and she showed different charts and different graphs, just from 2000 to 2010, everything is going through this. I saw an evangelistic seminar years ago where they went from 1900s all the way to now. She said, nope, let's just look at 2000 to 2011. Everything is going through the roof. Earthquakes, famines, flooding, tsunamis, everything just going like this in 11 years. It's getting close, my friends. Christ is coming soon, and He's faithful. The question is, will you be faithful to Him? Amen? Yes. Amen. I'd like to close with a song. My Redeemer is faithful and true.
This road I've traveled, I see so many times He carried me through. If there's one thing that I've learned in my life, is my Redeemer is faithful and true. My Redeemer is faithful and true. Everything He has said, He will do. And every morning, His mercies are new. My Redeemer is faithful and true. My heart heart rejoices when I read the promise. There is a place that I'm preparing for you. I know someday I'll see my Lord face to face, 'cause my Redeemer is faithful and true. My Redeemer is faithful and true. Everything He has said, He will do. And every morning His mercies are new. My Redeemer is faithful and true. His love for me. When I lack the understanding, more grace He gives to me. My Redeemer is faithful and true. Everything He has said, He will do. And every morning His mercies are new. My Redeemer is faithful and true. My Redeemer is faithful and true.
Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for Your faithfulness. You have promised to finish the work that You've begun in us, if we but let You. I pray You would reach deep into each one of our hearts and our lives. I pray, Father, You would give us a glimpse of heaven. You would help us to behold Your character, the beauty of Your righteousness. I pray, Father, that You would please help us to have a vision of a finished work. And help us, Lord, to embrace being a part of it. I ask, Father, that You would forgive us for our sins. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank You for loving us. Thank You for saving us. Thank You for being faithful. In Jesus' name, amen.